thank the Lord for sparing our life to another broadcast time. You are listening to The Way of Truth, which comes to you from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avner Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you're a part of our congregation today, and we trust our broadcast will be a real blessing to you. Father, we thank you for the privilege of presenting this broadcast service to this precious people today. We're thankful for each one who is in our congregation, and we're thankful for your love for each one. And we're asking that we can be a vessel for you to use to be a blessing to this precious people. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. And we're asking you to remember them and their burdens, their cares, and their concerns, because you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So bless this broadcast and bless our precious congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
In sorrow I wandered, my spirit oppressed, but now I am happy, securely I rest. From morning till evening glad carols I sing, and this is the reason I walk with a king. I walk with a king, hallelujah. I walk with a king, praise his name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with a king. For years in the fetters of sin I was bound. The world could not help me, no comfort I found. But now, like the birds and the sunbeams of spring, I'm free and rejoicing, I walk with the King. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King. O soul near despair in the lowlands of strife, look up and let Jesus come into your life. The joy of salvation to you He would bring. Come into the sunlight and walk with the King. I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the King, praise His name. No longer I roam, my soul faces home. I walk and I talk with the King.
Our subject for today's broadcast, the challenge of following Jesus. And our text of scripture is taken out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 24, 25, and 26. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? As Jesus went about His earthly ministry, He was often followed by large crowds, some for the loaves and the fishes. Some were attracted by His miracles, and some for other reasons, and some actually wanted to become His disciples. Regardless of what their aim or their purpose was, Jesus never misled the people. It would not be easy to be His disciple. Following Him would be a challenge, and He made this plain to them in His teachings. One must be willing to deny himself. If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. I suppose one of the hardest things for an individual to do is to give up self. Self is such a dominant figure or thing in our lives that we hardly realize that self is in control. But there is such a thing as dying to self. Yes, dying out to self and giving yourself over to God. And Jesus is saying here, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. The dominant spirit in the world today is a get spirit. Get however you can, wherever you can, in whatever way you can. But that is not the spirit of Christ. That is not the teachings of His Word. How could Jesus be despised and rejected and His disciples be popular? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53:3. And you shall be hated of all men for My name's sake, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Doubtless there are those who respect and regard Christians, but in a general way, we are to accept what Jesus Christ said here. The world does not approve of the real, true Christian life, and the world does not appreciate those who live the gospel and endeavor to spread the gospel. They would have you to believe that you're trying to force religion down their throats, as it were, whenever all you are endeavoring to do is to live the gospel and let your light shine and help others to come to know the joy of Christian living. So keep in mind, our thoughts today are of the challenge of following Jesus. And it is indeed a challenge. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat my flesh, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. John chapter 6 and verse 53. Now these teachings Jesus was giving in the synagogue there at Capernaum, and there were a number of people gathered around him, and he had quite a few followers, as I said in the beginning. In his earthly ministry, he was often followed by large crowds, and some followed for one reason, some followed for another. But on this particular occasion, there in the synagogue in Capernaum, Jesus told them, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, Jesus was not talking about eating his actual flesh. He was not advocating being a cannibal meal. He was talking about the Word of God, living the truth out in your life. And he certainly was not advocating drinking his literal blood. That was forbidden, not only in the Old Covenant, but in the New Covenant as well. So what Jesus was saying here is, accept my teachings and live them out in your life, day by day. You have no part with me. You have no life in you. And what happened? There were many who said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And the Bible tells us that later on, they went away and followed him no more. As we read down in John 6 and 60, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And in verse 66, we are told, many went back and followed him no more. After the multitudes went away, after they had said this and went away, Jesus then turned to the 12, and he said to them, will you go away also? In other words, this is the message, and I am not changing it just because some people left, just because some people said it was a hard saying. I am not changing the message. This is the message. Will you go away also? And Peter spoke up for the rest, and he said, to whom shall we go? Where shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And beloved, that is still true today. If you turn away from Christ, who are you going to turn to? What are you going to turn to? And what will be the end? Now, one must be willing to count the cost. Then Peter began to say unto Jesus, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. And that is what Jesus is teaching in our text today. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And if we are not willing to lose our life to find it in Christ, then we will in the end, in reality, lose it. But if we will lose our life for Christ and the gospel's sake, then Jesus said, we shall find it. Jesus also gave us in parable form about how a man should sit down and count the cost before he started building a building to make sure that he had enough to finish it. Otherwise, people would mock at him. And if a king planned to go to war, he should consider how many troops he has, what kind of equipment he has, and how much the enemy has, lest he be defeated. And so, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, if you're going to be a follower of His, you must be willing to count the cost. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, a tax collector, and his name was Levi. In other words, we know him as Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector. And there was a passage there back and forth, and people, as they passed that way, had to pay their taxes. And so here Levi was sitting at the tax collector's table, and Jesus came walking by, and Jesus said to him, follow me. And what happened? Matthew, or Levi, left all, rose up, and followed him. So if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we must count the cost, and we must not only count the cost, but we must be willing to pay the price. Peter said, we have forsaken all to follow thee, and what shall we have? Jesus said, you're going to have more in this life and in the life to come than what you have now. And he was not talking about material things either when he said that. And here we find Levi, Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, his job. And Jesus passes by and says, follow me. And he gets up, leaves the money changer's table, leaves his job, and he follows Jesus. Was that not true of Peter and James and John? They were fishermen. And Jesus was walking along the seashore, and he said to them, come, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their nets, and they followed him. And that's what Peter was talking about when he said, we have left all to follow thee. So if we're going to be a true disciple of Christ, then we must forsake all and follow him and allow him to work out and to accomplish his will in and through our life. Now, Christ must not only be our Savior, but he must be Lord of our life. If any man come to me and does not love me more than his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. So I say Christ must not only be our Savior, but he must be our Lord and our Master. He must be Lord of our life. He must be permitted to direct our path, to tell us what to do and what not to do. Now, I do not speak of a hard way. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His way is always right. His way is always best. And his way is the way of eternal life. Now, for some, this may involve changing jobs. Yes, for some, if they're going to follow Christ, if they're going to forsake all to follow him, it may well mean the changing of jobs, because there are many jobs out there in the world that Christians have no business being involved in. And there are those who have changed jobs because they were working at a work that was not compatible with being a disciple of Christ. And there are many jobs, I say, out there in the world that Christians cannot hold. Also, there are friends that we'll have to leave. There are friends who would lead us astray, who would lead us back into the world if they could. And therefore, we must forsake them. I am persuaded that if we really become a disciple of Christ and begin to actually live the gospel out in our lives, we're not going to worry too much about those friends who do not want the Lord and do not appreciate the Lord. We won't necessarily have to forsake them. They will forsake us. But nevertheless, there is that leaving of friends if we're going to be a follower of Christ. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So James tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 4. Let me repeat that verse. Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. No wonder John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the worldly things, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the world passeth away with the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. Now, in becoming a disciple of Christ, there will be a definite change in your lifestyle. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 1, Paul tells that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he goes on to say, be not conformed. And that word conform there means pattern after. So Paul is saying, do not pattern after this world, but be ye transformed. Your lifestyle will change when you become a true disciple of Christ. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, to be a true disciple of Christ and to meet the challenge of being a disciple, we must die to self. I mentioned this earlier, but let me repeat it. Oh, self is our number one problem. And if we're going to be successful in being a disciple of Christ, we must die to self. Only the one who is dead to his own will can be a disciple of Christ. And that's a quote. And let me quote it again. Only the one who is dead to his own will can be a disciple of Christ. Not as I will, but as thou wilt, Christ in praying to the Father, Matthew 26 and 39. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. And Christ is a perfect example that we must follow. And so if he prayed to the Father, not my will, but thine be done, then we must do the same. So we must die to self. Only the one who is dead to his own will can be a disciple of Christ. We must be willing to forgive, even when mistreated and misrepresented by others. And this might indeed be a real challenge, but it is a challenge that we must meet. We must be willing to forgive, even when mistreated and misrepresented by others. No, it's not pleasant, and we don't like it. But if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we must be willing to forgive. If they have called the master of the house, Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Jesus gives us a parable of a man who owed his Lord a great sum of money, and the Lord demanded it and was going to have him put in prison because he wasn't able to pay. But he begged and begged until the master forgave him of the debt. And then he went out and found a fellow servant who owed him just a very small amount, and he demanded that his fellow servant pay him. And the fellow servant said more or less the same thing he had said to his Lord. I don't have it. I can't pay you now, but be patient with me. But he wouldn't. And he had him put in prison. And the man's Lord heard about it, and he called him back in. And he said, now listen, I forgave you of that big debt that you owed me, and you go out there, and you will not forgive your fellow man the small debt that he owes you. Jesus gave us that parable to teach us this. If we will not forgive others, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. So if we're going to be a disciple of Christ, we must forgive others. When Christ calls one to become a disciple, he calls him to come and die. Yes, when Christ calls one to become a disciple, he calls him to come and die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's Paul's writings to the Galatian brethren, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And he said, I am crucified with Christ. In other words, I have died to self. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You must die to live. You must die to sin. You must die to self to be a victorious disciple of Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And what a beautiful life that is. And that is the way to have true happiness and eternal life. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that the thoughts and scriptures that we have brought to you today have proven to be a challenge to you, and that they will be a blessing and a help to you also. If so, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to let us know. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can listen to a number of our broadcasts on our webpage and other messages there also. And you may read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And you may also join us in our services Sunday morning at 20 minutes before 11 and Sunday evening at 6. Our services are broadcast live over the internet, and you may join us, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.